5, 4, 3, 2.
This is 2OF Entertainment.
What could be more reprehensible than 2 old farts? 3 old farts featuring Dave and Steven and Greg Shapiro with funny ha-ha.
I still love this opening because every time he says that, you know, funny, haha, like it's a question. Like we're not sure if it's going to be funny or not. Here, I'll help everybody out. There we go. No. So it's like funny, haha, and it's sort of like a question. It's just, is this going to be funny?
Well, my mother used to say something in a very sort of half sarcastic way, and that's where it came from for me. She used to say, is that funny, haha, or is that funny, peculiar?
Funny, peculiar, funny, clever, funny. I'm for the record, it's it's a bit odd that I prepare, you know, factual information. Not a lot of jokes. I don't prepare to be funny, haha. And yet that's the way it usually ends up.
Yeah.
That's because I have the mentality of a 5-year-old. And that has
What's really important, of course, is that Greg actually is a comedian.
That helps.
Who knew? Who knew that?
Right. Improvisational comedian. You know what's actually funny, gents? Is that I will work with improv comedians or stand-up comedians. And there are two different, you know, sometimes those streams don't cross, but for me they do. Anyway, there's a spectrum definitely of writer's room, you know, capabilities, skill sets. Some people really, you say a news item and then they just blurt out 3 jokes on the subject. And one of them might be actually pretty funny. There are people who are just like, oh, that's really cool. Let me think about that for a minute, you know, and then like, oh, I'll get back to you. Actually, you know, the cool thing about that is that's more like I'm more contemplative. And then there are definitely people who spit out 10 in a row and you're like, OK, you have a problem.
So anyway. are these the stand up people as well?
The problem people are more in the stand up world, in my experience.
Problem. Okay, the problem. If you watch Bert Kreischer's last interview at the Super Bowl, that Bert Kreischer is a problem. I think he's funny, but he's a problem person. He's somebody I would want to go to dinner with, and then I'm instantly going to regret it because I know he's going to embarrass you, but it's just going to be the fun of going.
Well, he's not wearing a shirt. I mean, and
right. Well, that has something to do with it. Yeah.
Bert Kreischer, very funny.
Talking about Super Bowl, I saw this advert quite by accident this morning. With Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Was he the State Farm agent?
Yeah, which was the most watched advert, the most loved advert of the Super Bowl.
I didn't even notice. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was hawking power tools for Lidl.
Oh, he's doing everything. He was doing everything.
Why not? You know, I guess.
But they give you $5 million to show up for a day. You know, you show up as many times as they want.
He must be trying to pay off somebody, right? Is it a mistress affair?
And he does live. He does now live without his wife. So maybe that's costing him a lot of shekels.
Yeah,
maybe. But I thought it was really funny. I was surprised by it. Funny while it was on, and then funny at the end. And I'm not saying to promote the particular. What is it? Insurance company, Stephen?
State Farm Insurance. Okay. He was the insurance agent. It was like a big house explosion and yada yada yada. And he comes out and the lady's like, "Thank you, State Farm agent." And it was like almost a take on his True Lies movie, but it was very cute. And it was like, you know, it's Arnold. But YouTube had them out the day before, like all the ads.
Okay.
And that one was cute. But the one that I liked the most, because I'm sentimental, is the Budweiser horse commercial. Of course, got the Clydesdale and the dog. I was like, I love that one. That was it.
Huh. Wow.
That was the one I enjoyed the most.
I missed all of that.
Isn't that an oxymoron then, at Budweiser and beer? I mean, come on.
If the joke is what makes you smart, Budweiser.
No, I thought Budweiser was drinking Budweiser is like making love in a canoe.
Go on, say it.
Go on, go on. Yeah. It's fucking close to water. There you go.
I've never heard that, but that I've never drank Budweiser. I used to drink Grosch.
What? From Enschede?
Yeah, lovely. And then they changed the formula. And then they had the pop-off bottle. And when they changed it to like a normal bottle, they changed the formula. And I was like, this tastes like piss. And I was like, forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be more bitter. Now it's more sweet. That's too bad.
Well, Heineken is changing the John Smith beer in the UK. They said it no longer needs to be as strong.
Oh, really?
Because the Brits don't need to have as strong a beer as they had before.
In fact, they need it to be much. Can we please keep the alcohol out of the British veins?
Well, they just come to Amsterdam and drink lots of it, you know, because they think those.
Do you guys have good beer there?
Yeah. Wait, what was that?
Do you guys have good beer in Amsterdam, like the Netherlands?
Yeah, Dutch is reasonable. Reasonable. As long as you don't.
It's not Belgium. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's exactly it.
But then again, since it's not Belgium, you don't order something like Creek. That sounds exotic. And it's basically cherry flavored cough syrup in beer form. Okay.
Yeah, but it's dangerous stuff. I remember I went to Antwerp and they had banana beer on tap.
Oh, on tap. Oh
my God.
Yeah, I know. So got so wasted because it's just that's, you know, lovely. Oh, banana beer.
Like schnapps.
Now, remember, kids, we want to just say that if you're going to go drink banana beer, check with mom and dad. Or if they're not around, just drink as much as you want. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, I have what do you know? The Super Bowl had some sustainability news.
Really?
And that's my theme is, you know, good climate, climate good news.
Okay.
So I read in the USA Today that Super Bowl 58, Super Bowl LIV, Super Bowl live, is the first ever 100% sustainable renewable electricity.
Is that why they've been recycling all the 1980s pop stars? Is that what it is?
When was Usher from? Yeah, something like that.
The 1990s or whatever.
Isn't Usher from the early 2000s? He's not.
But still, a lot of recycling.
It's recycled.
Alicia Keys popped up. Yeah.
Oh, it's Vegas. That's why, because Vegas is where the bodies are buried. So it's like a dinosaur. So that's where they're getting the oil from. I got it. All right.
I actually have said that if you could somehow harness the energy from certain dead people spinning in their graves, I mean, it's like a turbine.
That's true.
If the dead Kennedys could have seen that Robert F. Kennedy commercial, what is it? RFK Jr.? What's his name?
RFK Jr., yeah.
Then they would have been spitting in their graves. Well, they put a turbine on it and it can be sustainable. But
on your February show of Good Climate News, that's on our channel. Yeah. It will be on this, depending on when this airs. That's February show of Good Climate. You talked about wind turbines and the company you spoke about. I think we either had the president of that company or president of a company that does exactly like that on Lost Dollar Business Club about a month ago. Wind turbines. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's Heirloom. I think they got, Bill Gates investment. So, I mean, it's a fairly big deal.
Yeah. How long did it take for them to come up with that name?
Heirloom. It must be terrible. Everybody misspells the name the whole time. You can see that's wind. But I don't know if there should be wind out in Las Vegas as well, wind power. But I think
there's definitely sun.
Allegiant Stadium is the first one to be 100% powered by renewable solar energy. And you can look at this article from USA Today. They talked about they have enough power to 60,000 homes, but when there's a big football game, then it goes down to 46,000. They can power. But
I thought it was run by good old Americana bullshit, and that's what kept they were burning a lot of that.
Could be a lot of methane fumes, indeed. I also read that they try to be zero waste, and the construction of the stadium was apparently
nobody went to the toilet, so it was zero waste. Is that
right? Definitely don't get me started on that. Well, in fact, I was going to go back to the Netherlands for that kind of link as well. There's a whole new program. You can see this in the Guardian newspaper. There's a program to do home heating based on capturing the heat from this main sewage pipe. So yeah, like toilet based, gross.
Toilet heat.
Yeah, if anybody's going to reinvent the toilet.
Eat some Mexican food, we can heat your house.
Ta-da. Yeah.
Yeah, but it does give off a lot. I mean, if you like big compost heaps.
I don't know. And they were talking about
gives off a phenomenal amount of heat.
Surrounding the pipe, there'd be enough to heat. And then it would be amplified by solar, and then it helps with like the heat pumps. Excuse me, and and they can do I don't know, like thousands of. Homes. Not thousands. It's like hundreds and then just over 1,000, maybe like 1,300, I think. Anyway, but sorry, back to stadiums. Don't forget, in the Netherlands, here in Amsterdam, there's the Amsterdam Ajax soccer stadium, football stadium, named after Johan Cruyff, the famous Dutch football icon. Anyway, he...
sure, everybody knows him.
I mean, he's the stadium called Johan Cruyff Arena is 100% powered by solar. And that's been that I just looked up that article. It's from 2018. So, wow. Yeah, right. Thanks. Las Vegas is trying to catch up to Amsterdam.
Well, just remember, the Las Vegas stadium is only 2 years old. So that's right. A brand new stadium. And the kid, I don't want to say kid, the guy who built it, yeah. They always make fun of him, but he's very smart. So he was smart because he's like, look how much money I can save. So yeah. I'm impressed that he did that. And he was smart enough to build it on solar. I know there's wind every now and then through the desert, but I know solar there is like in the summertime and whatever. Yeah. It's like, you know, 295 days of sun and like 3 days of rain. And
yeah. That's
one day of clouds.
Yeah. Although now it is weird that there's, in Texas, are you guys getting extreme weather?
No, California's getting it. Everybody in like Los Angeles, San Diego, they're like getting these rainstorms or whatever. I think Boston's having a nor'easter. In Texas, here's what happens in Texas. I'll do this in Celsius. And then the people in America, if you don't know Celsius, look it up. So Texas, you'll wake up, it's going to be somewhere between 3 and 7. And by the end of the day, it'll be somewhere between 20 and 23.
No.
Now, when I'm in Dubai, I looked at the weather. It's going to be 3. A couple mornings, and by the afternoon, it'll be 26.
Yeah.
So for the people in America, we'll just 3, just so you know, is 36 Fahrenheit, and 26 is 82 degrees.
Double it in that.
So, yeah. So that's the span that we have here. It's just weird. It's crazy.
It's a pity you weren't there yesterday in Dubai. Did you see the whole drone dragon flying around at the big...
The year of the dragon, baby.
It's year of the dragon. They did that for me because they know I'm coming. They prepare for me. It's a big thing when I show up. Yeah.
It's Chinese New Year, indeed. And New Year. Again, speaking of the Year of the Dragon, there's a new type of energy production now called a tidal kite. That's what they're,
And you got to be really careful how you're saying that, Greg. We're Jewish. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be really careful as you're going through that whole statement there.
Then you would not have fun with the Dutch language anytime they say, look. KYK. Anyway.
KYK.
So this is from Interesting Engineering. There's a company called Minesto. They have their first megawatt scale tidal kite power plant. Off the Faroe Islands in Scotland. It's the first I'm hearing of, I've heard of wave power, you know, like basically waves go up, they go down, and there's a little toggle, generator in there. But a tidal kite, I have yet to figure out how that really even works, but it's called the Dragon. The Dragon 12 has now been deployed. Not above Dubai, but below.
If we are going to celebrate the Chinese New Year, I do have a dragon on my baseball cap back there. So if I need to wear that for our Asian fans, let me know. Okay. Or it could be a tiger. Okay. I keep forgetting. Yeah. So something Asian.
It's very lucky. It's a bit late now because it's passed. So you could do it for next year, whatever that is. I forgot the baseball year.
I forgot the baseball cap. Yes, that's it. Yeah. Well, the good thing is there was your story. I got a kick out of the hydrogen buses in France. So there's 8 hydrogen buses in France, and apparently they're all for crap because it's France. They don't do shit anyway. And so they're getting rid of them, and they're going to replace them with something else. And then the funny part was, he's like, and if they can only find lithium, so they found lithium for enough of for 800,000 or 700,000 EV vehicles, which is great because let's add more pollution. So for 700,000 cars, they're going to drain more energy that we don't have. Remember, you still got to dig the lithium up, right?
Oh,
you
still
have to produce batteries, and you still have to do this. So everyone, like we always talk about, they always forget that part, but it's like, oh, we have EV, right? But you still have to produce electric.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hello.
We woke up to some great news yesterday because they're just about 3 or 4 kilometers from our house. They're going to be their planning permission just come through for a 25-acre hydrogen plant.
Right.
So that'll be good. Nice. When that mother goes, we're you know like we're all gone. Hey,
can I get naming rights? I want to call it the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
I'm just feel comfortable as you try to buy it.
The Hindenburg hydrogen plant. Everyone's welcome.
If it doesn't get, you know, wiped out.
Bright sparks not allowed, is what it'll say.
Because you're in Spikenissa, I think you said. That's by Rotterdam?
Yeah. Just under, yeah. So, I mean, I'm basically living in the middle of a huge, you know, shall we say, petroleum storm anyway. But,
yes.
This is, I think it's in South London, which is not far from where we are, about 3 or 4 clicks.
Yeah.
So it's 25 hectares, I think. So lovely.
But that's the port of Rotterdam, you know, and that's the biggest. I think it's still the biggest port in Europe, right?
Yeah, and they just keep eating up all, you know. In the summer we go down to a beach, which didn't exist 3 or 4 years ago. But the port of Rotterdam, no, it's probably 10 years ago. But the port of Rotterdam said, "Oh, if we can reclaim all this land."
Yeah,
we'll build a beach next to it. So that's what they did. So as the port goes further into the North Sea, you get more and more and more of these sort of artificial
beaches. Do people go to these beaches? Because I'm just curious so you swim with the petroleum that the boats put out, and I don't get that.
Hey, look.
I'm sorry.
I come from a place called Ipswich in the UK, and that's only 30 miles from Sizewell nuclear power station.
Oh yeah.
So you can go swimming there with all the tropical fish because the water is so warm. They have lots of tropical fish, and
you can glow in the dark apparently.
Indeed, yeah.
And you can go swimming anywhere near London and Thames Water, and you can enjoy all of the things that people have flushed down there.
So if you go fishing near this Rotterdam beach,
which a lot of people do,
okay. So you're basically getting your fish cooked in the proper oil, Mobil, Exxon, BP. Yeah. So your fish is coming oil prepared. I like that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Right. Already cooked.
It's a fascinating place because if you go down to right to where the entrance of the port, these huge container ships come in. I mean, you're looking up forever.
Right,
it's mind-boggling.
It is absolutely astounding.
If you take the port of Rotterdam, the tour of the port of Rotterdam, you know, you go in a boat that's a fairly like it holds 100 people or more.
Yeah, tug. Yeah, right. You just toughen around.
And, and then at some point they pull up alongside a container ship, and you're just like, oh, I thought this ship was big, but the container ship's short.
That's crazy.
Mind-boggling.
I'm just fascinated that you're doing the beach, but then again, you got to do something. It's kind of like Monaco does that when they need to build a new, like, high rise for the billionaires. They take your technology and they start throwing rocks in the sea, and then they just there you go. There's a new put the condo right there, and I'm like, there you go. So every time I go to Monaco, it keeps getting bigger for something that's on the sea and against France. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, it's a lot of Dutch companies that do the water engineering that builds the in Dubai, for example. I think it was Van Oord, one of the big four Dutch water engineering companies, and they built the islands in Dubai in the shape of
the palms. Islands, yeah, they did the palm and the world and all that. When we stayed in Dubai last time, we could see the palm, and the Atlantis and whatever from our little small 50,000 square foot bungalow. It was terrible. Listen, I stayed on the cheap. I only had 2 butlers. I was very upset, but I struggled. I know. But anyway, but we could see the view was gorgeous. And, But yeah, they were telling us how they built it. And I've seen all the specials on it. I'm just fascinated how they reclaim everything.
Yeah.
And then I think about as the Arctic melts and water rises, what happens? It's not like the pond is going to float up.
Yeah, well, I told you, we all start boat. I've been building a boat here for the last 6 months, the amount of rain we've had here, I'll tell you.
So it's just, people in California have.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between the, I mean, so David, you must know, like I made this joke the other day with some Dutch people and British people in the audience. And I talked about, you know, like, oh, we've all had heavy rains and these windstorms coming through, or there was what was one of the windstorms? They have names now in Europe as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're easily forgettable. But the point was, I said,
Elsa, I think.
Yeah.
Are you copying us with hurricanes? You're naming everything now, and like you do with typhoons. Oh my God.
Well,
it's
trendy, you know, and you've got to, these weather people, you've got to give them something else other to say it's a storm.
Please, they're meteorologists. Don't call them those people. You they're weather people. Right.
Well, do you have weather girls? Weather girls there? They like, well, like when I remember as a kid, we sat
in raining men, you have like a hot weather check.
You said men, okay,
weather person, weather,
we had
identify as
you had to, what's it, not the 9 o'clock news, I think it was on BBC, and they always had this spoof of the weather girl somewhere in the Mediterranean, and she would point to this map and say, Scorchio, and tomorrow is Scorchio, and at the end of the week it's Scorchio.
Well, anyway, I guess I was getting back to the windstorms. Flooding. I'm trying to get back to Spike and Issa as well. Like I said, in the UK you have massive storms. That means you have massive flooding. In the Netherlands we have massive storms, and for Dutch people, flooding is what happens, you know, when you don't do planning, you know, with floodplains and allowing for the water to go. But so that is actually that was a nice article, I think, in Euro News Green about Rotterdam and the port of Rotterdam and Spike and Issa, where David lives, and that they you know, parts of the city are like 7 meters below sea level. And
wow.
Yeah, so I mean, with the sea levels rising, what I've said, like Dutch people are like the cartoon dog in the room on fire. They're like, "Nah, this is fine."
Yeah, that's, so for the people in America, once again, that's 21 feet below sea level because they don't know what a meter is, or a fortnight, or anything else.
If you've been on that, Rotterdam port trip, which I think you have, you actually go through the barrier, which is on the entrance to the port.
The storm surge barrier,
And I think they closed it this year for the first time, other than for an exercise. So it does happen every now and again.
And they say each one of those gates is as big as the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Yeah,
it's pretty big.
Really?
This thing just closes.
I've seen pictures.
For the storm surge.
I understand what it does, and I've seen pictures, but I've never seen it in person. So when you say it's as big, I've seen the Eiffel Tower, the one in Vegas and the real one in France.
Yeah.
So I thought the real one was in Las Vegas.
That's the one I just said. The one in Vegas is interesting. There's one in Tokyo too. Yeah, they're all over now. Yeah, I don't know. But that's big.
There's one in China as well.
Eiffel was not faithful.
You know, it's a French person.
But so Rotterdam is really busy actually with not only reclaiming land, but I think allowing space for flooding to happen when when there's too much water flowing through. Right? Yeah. Do you notice that in Rotterdam area? Like
you see, so there are bits where they will allow it to flood. I mean, and that's the difference between. I mean, there are still places here in Holland, but the UK in particular have been totally like the paper dog in the room on fire. They've been building over floodplains for years because it's been cheap as chips.
Right. Yeah.
If the houses are still expensive, but of course the developers paid virtually nothing for the land because it's all on floodplains.
Right.
And now your £400,000 house is underwater, and you think, well, how can that happen?
Right. Yeah. Literally. And I think I read in The Economist about how the insurance companies are now saying, like, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be insuring these ones that we know are built on the floodplain.
Well, they're insurance companies, aren't they? So they don't pay any.
Well, and they lose money. Yeah. Well, in fact, in Florida, when we left, when we sold our place, one of the reasons we sold is because our insurance company was telling us what the rates were going to be. And I said, I don't want to buy another house. I just want to pay insurance because of flooding and hurricane and how much money they lose. Now, a buddy of mine, I was talking to him about a month ago, sent me a map because he's thinking about moving to Florida. He sent me a link and it's a floodplain map. You punch in your address and you can do it up. It's for hurricanes. So it's 0 through 5, right? Yeah. So you can see as a surge happens, you can go, if it's a Z, if it's a little rain, no, that one's okay. Two, okay. Then the darker the purple. So I said, well, where you're looking, what happens? If, he says, if there's a 3 hurricane, apparently, he says, I need a boat. And I said, so you're screwed at a 4 or 5. And I mean, everything in Florida, for people that have never been there, it's all underwater. It's just a swamp. It's like 2 or 3 feet above sea level. Yeah. You know, unless you're in Gainesville or Jacksonville, further north, or Tampa. But
we're
going to
drain South Florida, we're gonna drain it, Steven.
Oh, I know. We're going to drain something. But I'm so, in my mind, I'm kind of like, interesting. And they're putting up more buildings in Miami and then more this and more that. Beaches are eroding. And I'm like, beaches are falling apart. Buildings are falling down. And I'm like, at some point, we've got to use some common sense. So my buddy was like, I don't think I'm going to move to Florida. I'm like, I wouldn't be moving to Florida on the beach. I mean, it's very nice, but maybe California. Like, so I'd go with the earthquake. More than I would want to face a hurricane.
Oh, was it Beverly Hills that all got washed away? Was it? So it's like Beverly
Slope, Beverly Hills, Los Angeles, San Diego, all of that is just being like flooded. And it's so literally, it's a slalom.
Was it then impossible in Los Angeles to buy Gucci Wellington boots, rubber boots?
Of course.
I mean, because I mean, everybody's got to have your Gucci rubber boots on if it's raining. I mean,
designer willies.
there can't be anywhere.
Have your rubbers on. You have to have your rubbers on. For the
you don't say that. Now, that means something completely different where I come from.
See, when I was a kid, we would be told, instead of galoshes, my grandmother would be like, put on your rubbers. And I'd be like, okay. And so to me, rubbers are what you put on your shoes.
Of course. Yeah. It's like going to France and asking for a conservative. Preservative. Sorry.
Preservative.
Yeah, conservatives for jam. Anyway. It's easy to make that mistake. You mentioned Exxon a bit back. So Exxon and Shell and all the oil refineries. David lives. I did my climate good news show last Sunday, and so I actually had a visitor who is an activist from the group called Follow This, and he's now getting sued by Exxon.
Really?
Mark van Baal is his name. He, again, another Dutch connection. Follow This. He started out being an activist shareholder. Does that ring a bell?
Sure. I mean, exactly what those are.
So, he bought up stock in Shell just so that he could go to the shareholder meetings and, raise his hand and start causing trouble. What the hell are you doing? But I think he's done that now with Chevron and with Exxon, and now Exxon is suing him.
What were they suing him for, though?
Unclear. I don't know. Like, it's in their own rules, right? I mean, the Netherlands is the, this is where they invented shares and shareholders and, capitalism from
Dutch West Indies company. Well, technically, it was probably in China, and they just kind of brought it over. And if you look at the Knight Templar history, apparently they were larger and all this other stuff. But anyway, this guy, I would, if next time you speak to him and if he has nothing to do for an hour, let him come on and we can slam Exxon for the day. What's Exxon going to do? Sue me? Feel free. It's publicity. That means this show will go through the roof.
his neighbor, he said his neighbor doesn't even understand Follow This. Why do you call it Follow This? And he's like, maybe it's not the best name, but it's Yeah, the activist investor group against fossil fuels from within, you know, and the neighbor's still like, I don't know. I just did see in the news your name came up and it said you're being sued by ExxonMobil. So you must be doing something right.
That's awesome. That is really cool.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know what there's. First of all, I'm going to have to follow this up. This will be interesting. Right. But second of all, I need to know what he's being sued for. Because you have freedom of speech. What are you going to say? You said something wrong. You blocked the thing. That's your prerogative as a statement.
It'll be something stupid like he went to a meeting he wasn't supposed to go to. Yeah, that's how.
You can't
sue
for that.
Could be that.
Illegal entry or something. You know, it'll be something.
You don't get sued for that. You get arrested for that. So you can't be sued for that.
Yeah,
you got it. Has to be something. It's a nuisance suit. They want him to shut up, I think.
It would definitely be more of
a nuisance suit, right? Yeah. So it's like we have trillions of dollars. You don't
very effective.
You have to go to a special tailor for that, then.
You
have special tailors that sell nuisance suits.
Nuisance suits, yes, exactly.
This is my Savile Row nuisance suit.
This one actually keeps ripping.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like a nuisance suit. Then.
You know, Greg, if he needs a platform, we may know of a channel on YouTube.
Okay,
I'll be more than happy.
I will. I can tell him. I know he's very busy, but
he's trying to defend himself.
Yeah, right.
Let's hope Exxon hasn't got shares in YouTube. But there you go.
For example, I think Shell shareholder meeting. The boss talked about how we're going to have a whole new green department. Right. You know, and it's not just going to be greenwashing. We're actually going to try to figure out what is this, energy technology of the future. Because indeed, I think Shell is afraid of, or at least shareholders are afraid of being, dinosaurs, and being left behind. Like, is the future going to be more, hydrogen, LNG or CNG, biogas, but they want to be ahead of the curve. So anyway, the latest meeting, I guess, was the CEO came in and said, met with my team and we're not going to do any of that stuff. Sorry, we're just going to lay off half of that department. And so that was not met with a lot of approval.
Applause.
And indeed, a friend of mine hosted an event for their HR department, like, yay, Shell, we're green now. And he got nice photos of the event. So he's like, oh, I'll put it up on LinkedIn. And then he read the news and he's like, I think I'll take that down.
Well, here, I'll tell you this very interesting. But it's really interesting about the green movement and going outside your space.
Yeah.
UAE and Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Omar. Right. There's an article in the Financial Times as well as The Economist this weekend, last week. Yeah, Omar.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Sharif Omar. Yeah, big actor. Those four countries are not, they know they produce oil, but they're also saying they're looking at green, they're looking at solar, they're looking at tech, like Dubai is trying to become the biggest e-gaming, blockchain, tokenization on the planet. Like, Dubai is exploding in that respect. Saudi is doing the same. I think Qatar and Omar are doing so. They're all it's really funny. Who controls the oil now is Saudi Aramco with these other guys. Shell's like, no, we're not going to go green. Meanwhile, the guys who are making $1 trillion a day with oil are going, we need to change our philosophy because if we don't, by 2030 or 40 or 50, we won't have anything.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the dinosaur, to your point, is like, we're good. We don't need green. They painted a room green, but that's all they did. Where you have countries that are saying, no, we need to change things, which I was very impressed when I read that. I mean, I know they're really thinking ahead, and I'm very impressed when I read about them that they just keep going forward and forward and forward. So it's excellent. Yeah. But Shell and Exxon, good luck.
Dubai apparently invested heavily into one of these new waste-to-energy plants, and they wouldn't have had to do that. But like, A, they have the money, and B, I think they just want the prestige, was what the Hitachi Zosen Inova, I was at their meeting and they were talking about,
easy for you to say.
Waste energy plants. I don't know. I kind of thought it was like biomass and it's kind of bullshit, but I don't know. I think it seems like, if the alternative is it would be going into landfill and, you can make some energy of it and the emissions are captured and reused even. So I don't know. Yeah. It could be.
If you go to the Middle East now, And most people have never been, right? So most people think of the Middle East as what they see on the news and, you know, people living in tents and whatever, and they see a couple buildings. If you go to Dubai or Abu Dhabi or Riyadh or whatever, it's like New York City, cleaner, right? So they build all this new stuff. And when they build it, they're integrating everything into it to be better, cleaner, you know? So when they, when they're doing all this, I'm impressed with it. And if I was them, I'd be, you know, our little piece of sand here is getting all these expats and all these other people are coming. So I have two choices to your point. I can go out into the desert and I can build a landfill or I can have my waste energy plant and I can just schlep everything out there. And that leaves me, and I mean this in a positive way, more desert to build things and keep building up and up and up, right? So they're actually, right? And they're thinking ahead. So, because they know in the next, if this keeps going in the 20 years, you know, like I remember 20 years ago, it was like two buildings and a camel. Now I go there and we're at the sea and it's the Palm and it's like the traffic is like LA traffic. But I mean, it's like, but it's unbelievable. And even driving from Dubai to Abu Dhabi to go to the airport, you can just see all these new developments. They have a high speed rail that's going to, my understanding is it's going to go from Dubai to Abu Dhabi to Riyadh and blah, blah. I'm like, they are preparing for 2030 because that's MBS over at Saudi said, we need to prepare for 2030. I think Qatar, Omar, and the UAE and Abu Dhabi are like, yes, we do. So I think in their minds, as much as it's, as you said, prestige, I think the other part of it is we're preparing for the future because as more people come, we don't want to be caught with our pants down, if you will.
Is it true?
I think that's what it is.
There might be a scenario where the, you know, oil producing company companies and countries get paid to keep that fossil fuel in the ground.
Maybe.
Yeah, that might be a profit, you know. I mean, probably not as much as, you know, pumping it and burning it, but you know, but
can I just change tack a bit now, because there's something Stephen said that touched me deeply.
I didn't touch anything, my hands were here.
And that was that when he said being caught with your trousers down. What do you think, Greg? Do you think we're going to have,
I think it's an HR violation, probably. I don't know which view is the department that is.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, what do you think about two things, really? One is that, you know, will you have, on a personal basis, will you have a lot more work when Mr. Trump becomes president? That's point number one. Number two, he made this very strange remark that said, if you don't, if the NATO countries don't pay enough money,
they're 2%,
then they can, as far as I'm concerned, they can be invaded by Russia.
Actually, he said something a little different. He actually said that, as far as he's concerned, Putin. Actually, he said something different. He actually said that Putin can go into the Ukraine and Poland anytime he wants. He isn't going to stop him. And there was an article on the FT on Saturday from an analyst who said, if Trump becomes president, he says within 3 to 5 years, I think it's Article 5 under NATO will be tested because Putin will roll through. And he said, and if America is going to play ostrich, that's my term. He said, there's a big problem because we're, I keep saying 1939 Germany. So very dangerous. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about, these pants that have been caught around my waist.
Yes,
I'm just thinking whether or not I should go and buy, you know, like stainless steel or something a little,
pre-stained, like the background curtain. Yeah. You can't tell if it's been already painted. But anyway, I said something about Trump coming back. In the Netherlands, anyway, the Prime Minister Mark Rutte met with Donald Trump in the White House, and he famously laughed at Trump when Trump suggested that, you know, we're going to make some very good deals, some very good trade deals, or not, and that'll also be good. And Mark Rutte said, no, that would not be good. So anyway, when people ask me, do I think it would be great for my personal, you know, life if Trump becomes president again, I will quote the Dutch Prime Minister when he said, no. I have other gigs. For me, it's not the end of the world, you know.
No, but you were so good at it. Oh, you're so good at it. That's the thing.
And I can still be good. He's not going away. Even if he dies tomorrow, we'll still be referring to. I don't know. At this point, he could well be the next, once in future president. Then back to the Super Bowl. I don't know if you saw, like, 2020. This point, it was Trump versus Biden in the election. It was the Chiefs beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And then, March, there was a devastating global pandemic. So, March
20th. Let's keep a good thought.
We're nearly Dylan there, of course, because this time they ushered it in. Sorry.
Recycling.
Let's look at everybody's clear. The Economist did I think with Pew and a few others. So Trump is only ahead of Biden as of last week from the Economist's article by 2 percentage points, which really isn't a lot.
No.
So the problem is, and I know it has nothing to do with climate, but the problem is that you've got
dinosaurs with the climate.
And neither party has the balls to say to them, you're too old, step aside for the good of the country, because it's become a popularity game. It's like, look at us, look at us, look at us. Not like, how are we going to help America or the world? It's like, what can we do to better just our little group? And until we change our mentality,
that it will definitely be a climate change when either of those two gentlemen step aside. You know, it's or die.
Be a nuclear winner if they don't.
Boy. So. There was
I thought I'd end on a positive show.
Episode, if you like, we could talk about. Trump's take on NATO and Europe is disturbing already. So that I know a lot of European countries are already making contingency plans for a whole new NATO.
Because the Germans are just starting to build a new ammunition factory.
It's only
going to take them 10 years before they can open the door.
Well, that's good because you don't want to rush. And The Economist today just said there was a whole article in The Economist this morning that was talking about Europe's got to prepare. And they were talking about what different countries are saying and doing. And they're kind of like, they would pony up. But I think the other thing is that America puts so much demand on what they want in NATO. They're like, hey, listen, if you're running it, if you're going to be the guy in charge, write the bill. Yeah. If we're in charge, we'll write the bill, So I think that's part of it. But I don't think I'd be running around the world telling everybody, I don't care about NATO. We're not going to do anything. And it's literally, if I'm Putin right now, I'm going to be like, let's plan on an invasion. The funny part about Putin is David sent him a letter last week to ask him to come on and be interviewed on the Lost Dollar Business Club. And we're still waiting.
Still waiting for my Putin interview. Still waiting.
I can do a Tucker Carlson impression if you like.
Ooh, that'd be awesome.
Then maybe we have a shot. I won't say shot and president in the same sense.
That's terrible. We don't want to do that.
We don't just wait at this point. And one of them will keel over. But the other thing, I was talking about Mark Rutte. He's now famous for saying, I have no active memory of I think that was in the fall of his government. They caught him red-handed, and he was like, I don't have an active memory of that. But anyway, when Joe Biden says he doesn't.
That's the man, just to follow on to that, that's the man they call the Teflon Pinocchio. So that's
Teflon Pinocchio, yes. Yeah. Mark Rutte, he's the liar you could trust.
Wow.
But at least
if over Joe here Biden, then.
Tucker Carlton, whatever his name is.
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, he took my gig. He's Tucker. I'm pretty Tucker about him because he took my gig. But there you go. Yeah. I'll wait.
Putin's so, Greg, can you do Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've been just a very uptight white guy with a stick of his butt. that's basically it.
It hasn't been laid in 10 years. Get rid of the bow ties. Get
that channel, that feeling. I don't know. Tucker's gone from Fox News and Jon Stewart is back on Comedy Central. So,
They needed somebody to bring back the news. It was really funny when he was leaving Comedy Central 10 years ago, right? The Daily News, CBS wanted to make him an anchor for the CBS Evening News because Jon Stewart at that time, and probably still is, was the most trusted person when it came to news, people said. And and it's true because he would just tell you the truth. And you, and all the other people, the talking heads. Yeah. So it's terrible.
But isn't that such a strange thing? If somebody said to me, I've got a great job for you, you're going to be an anchor, that wouldn't sort of fill me with joy. I feel like somebody's going to throw me off the side of a boat with a lot of weight around my legs.
I mean, well, when they're paying you $10 million a year, you know what, David? That's a good weight. And it's a good anchor and a nice weight to have.
You got to
look at it for what it is. And I like Jon Stewart. I like what he stands for. I've never met him. I've seen him perform. He's good. He just seems like he's a good guy. Like you never hear anything bad about him.
He can
I'm all for Jon.
I think it'd be good. Yeah.
He hasn't been on this show yet.
No. All right. I'll put in a good word when we have
it. We appreciate that. Gentlemen, it's that time. Greg, I was going to say Mark. I'm thinking of your guy now all of a sudden. Greg has to go and he's got to save the planet. And David's got to go to the nurse's, got to feed him. And I've got to take over a small third world country. It works out well for us.
Yeah. Well, it's recreational boat building now. So I'm carrying on with the things.
All right. Just don't let him throw you over the side of your recreational boat.
Yeah.
Model.
Yeah. Greg, it's always a pleasure to see you. Any gigs you want to tout for coming between now and the next time we see you?
I'll be doing the climate show again in Amsterdam on the 7th of March. And before that is a Super Tuesday. So, yeah, I'll be doing some comedy at the Amsterdam Rode Hood, which is an old
red,
school.
The red hat.
Yes, the red hat. It is an event center in an old canal house on the Dutch Amsterdam.
Very lefty.
Yeah. Is it the Economist used to rent out that space and have their own debate?
The communists are left.
And Elsevier, actually. So anyway, but yeah.
Very cool.
But yeah,
go see Greg.
Yeah.
Amsterdam, you should go see Greg. That's very good.
March 7th. That's all good. And other dates throughout March. So, yeah. Thanks for watching.
Always. And don't forget, Greg has his monthly series, Good Climate News, which is premieres once. The next one's coming up this week, and the next one's in March. And he's here once a month to tell us what's going on. And David and I just sit here going, the world's coming to an end. So it works out well. So don't forget to subscribe and like, leave your comments. And if you're an activist being sued by an oil company, get in touch with us.
All right.
Cheers, everybody. Have a great day.
All right.
Bye-bye.